And that was Michael Mann, wasn't it, who did Michael Miami
Thomas.
Vice?
Yes. Okay, yeah. Here we go. Philip Michael Thomas hasn't done... he's done a couple of things. I guess mostly video games. Oh, he's a voice in Grand Theft Auto.
Nice.
Yeah, mostly, though, not so
not
much
a lot.
Stuff. Some TV series, some direct-to-TV movies. Yeah, not a whole lot. Born in Columbus. I don't know whether he married anybody. No, it doesn't say that he married anybody.
Well, he had to. Well, it
doesn't say. You know, it usually says like right on the front page. You either got
scroll down to personal. Or you're on IMDb.
He went on the IMDb.
Yeah, I went straight to IMDb.
Yeah, Wikipedia is going to have all that information in the personal section.
No, I guess no one famous. I got that wrong. I did have the Chicago Vice poster, though, when I was a kid.
Oh, with the Bears?
Yeah, it was McMahon and Peyton.
Yeah.
I was laughing at that because last week they're doing with the NFL 100 thing. They're doing the 100 greatest characters, and Jim McMahon was number 9. And that was just my guy when I was a kid. Like, I had the Chicago Vice. I had the Mad Mac poster.
Oh. Black and Blues Brothers.
I don't think I had the Black and Blues
Brothers. Junkyard Dogs.
But I had the Junkyard Dogs poster, for sure. And I dressed up as McMahon.
Junkyard Dogs, though, when you look at it now, there's kind of like an S&M thing going on.
Well, I mean,
right?
Yeah.
It's the 80s, man. Top Gun was an incredibly popular movie. Yeah. Like, this was kind of part of the 80s, wasn't it?
Speaking of which, if you get the chance, I got to retweet this. I sent it to a Batacola just because he would get an appreciation for it. I might have retweeted it. McSweeney's Internet Tendency, the fabulous satirical site, has a fake academic treatise, a paper, a presentation, and it says... It is an argument for the existence, and it basically the author says, "You know, hear me out here, but don't dismiss this completely." But it is a description of heterosexual overtones in Top Gun, and it's taking it on premise that the opposite is true. It's a complete satire of the entire
really
I think you've read it through. I was just dying reading this thing. It's like, no, just allow for the possibility that there may be some heterosexual overtones in the movie Top Gun. It's
possible.
It's brilliant. Maybe. Yeah, that's what they're saying. Maybe. It's like, I know this sounds far-fetched, but however, keep an open mind.
That's very good.
So I really do think that you should watch Watchmen.
I will. I it is on the list.
Connor, I'm gonna need you to watch it in real time.
Oh
yes.
I gotta do the weekly thing.
Yes,
okay.
I'm gonna need you to watch it in real time because it's Sunday night. It's the Sunday night HBO spot.
Okay. All right. So, they gave it the Game of Thrones spot.
Yes.
Jesus. All right.
So I'm gonna need you to I'm gonna need someone to talk to you about this.
I'll pick up. I just canceled HBO too, because I was looking around thinking, okay, what do I got? I could pick it up later, I could binge it at some point.
You need the hookup, Connor? I got the free link, bro.
We got a link?
Yeah.
We got a link and a login? That's awesome. That's all I need.
So, yeah, I need someone to talk to because I don't know if Tony's even watching it.
I'll get it.
And if he is watching it, he's not going to get it.
The Panther's not watching it?
Yeah, she's okay. I mean,
you can talk to her about it.
No, we have talked a lot about it, but she's coming at it from a different scope than Connor is.
Okay.
Her scope is not someone who loves comic books. Her scope is someone who loves looking at the funhouse mirror of society and with some very interesting thoughts of hers. With Connor, I can actually delve into like all of the little Easter
eggs.
That's all I'm saying. Because I said something to her and I was like, you know what I think? Blah, 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 blah. And she just looked at me and was like, it's like, I don't, what are you talking? It's like the show we just watched. It doesn't like go away.
Big old Jay Cutler on that one.
Yeah, very much. I got the not interested sign hung up right in front of her face, and it was great. All right, gentlemen, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
See you, Lawrence.
I am going to talk about your Chicago Bears on WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. And this hour is being brought to you by the Illinois Secretary of State's office. Visit www.realid.ilsos.gov. Tony. With that being said, let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, now, won't you please make noise for Clippers forward, Kawhi Leonard. Hey. Welcome, Clipper fans, to the game tonight. It's going to be a great season. We're going to work hard every night. And let's get it going.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
If Mitch is having a great time in practice and things are going really well in practice, and then he gets out onto the field and the things that he's supposed to be seeing aren't happening, I think it becomes difficult for him to trust what he's being taught. I also think that sometimes the idea of being positive lends itself to people being delusional. It's cool for you to want to have a positive mental attitude. That doesn't mean that the sky is sunny all the time. And what do the Bears tell you about their practices? That their practices are great because they want to keep it positive. You keep telling these guys that everything's great, and then they get out there and it's like, oh, this is not what I was expecting at all.
It's not great at all, Bob.
This is not great, Bob. And now I got to throw this ball away or take this sack on an RPO play.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Here's what I can promise you for today's show. I can promise you that you are going to get a thorough breakdown of what's going on with the Bears as they head into this game on Sunday. Their first noon kickoff that they'll have. I mean, yeah, it was noon here when they were in London, but their body clock said it was 6, or maybe their body clock said it was noon, and that was part of the problem. But their first noon kickoff is Soldier Field coming up. It's Bears Alumni Week. We are hoping that one of those alums gives us a call later on in the show. But beyond that, we are going to talk with J.J. Stankovic, who covers his team extremely well for NBC Sports Chicago. We're going to talk with Brian Baldinger as well. I'm looking forward to that conversation and you hearing that conversation, because he has done incredible work this week, kind of articulating from a lineman's perspective what's wrong with the Bears, and making, I think, some really good points about how maybe it's not just man-on-man blocking. You know, I went back and looked at this. Remember how Matt Nagy was saying that the run wasn't working and that that's why they had to pass the ball so much? So the Bears have a play in the second quarter where Tariq Cohen breaks off a 9-yard run. After that, they threw the ball or dropped back 13 straight times. I'm just saying, fam, you end up in second and short, and then you're like, nah, we'll just throw it. We'll just keep throwing it.
Would you like it if he just said, hey, I just don't like running, bro?
I would. I would appreciate it. At this point, I would appreciate it, because the rest of the stuff seems like he's lying to me. It's either he's lying to me or he's not good at his job. And I would like to lean towards he's lying to me, because I think the evidence so far still leans in favor of Nagy being good at his job. Although, evidence to the contrary is starting to mount. So we're going to do a lot of Bears breakdown today and bring back some of the cool stuff that we had on earlier in the week as part of our breakdown. Also, Kelly Kroll is going to be on the show. I don't know if she's got thoughts on the Bears. Maybe she does. But I do know she covers the Cubs really well. So I'm going to pick her brain about the hire of David Ross. That'll be pretty much the only departure that we take from us discussing what's going on with the Bears. Let me start here. We had Dan Durkin on, and Dan Durkin is one of my favorite follows on Twitter, at DJ Durkin, another guy that just scours over tape. I had him on, and he wrote a column about Nagy, and I was asking him about if there is any chance that this team can pull itself together and find themselves as a playoff team. I was a little surprised at his response.
I don't see this. This isn't a playoff team. There's no way. I mean, the defense, yes, the defense is a playoff team. This is not a playoff offense. So I don't know, other than the Redskins game, when they kind of went with the Sean McVay, Jared Goff, and almost a kind of like a relic throwback back to what Mitch was accustomed to at North Carolina. have the sidelines feed in those types of things to him. That's the one game this year when I went back and looked at it, like I understood what Matt was trying to do that game. Let me get in here. Let me kind of assist my quarterback a little bit more. Let's get lined up soon. Let's run these crossers, create congestion from the furthest receiver out, make defensive backs and linebackers chase through traffic, and then just really easy completions over the middle of the field. So, no, I don't know what is redeemable in this offense right now. I think that you're seeing it, and I don't have the luxury of seeing this in the press box, but when I go back and watch the games, these wide receivers are dejected. I mean, you can see it. They're wearing their emotions on their sleeve. They're tired of running these short routes. After they had the RPO sack play, which blows my mind how that play just went the way that it did. The Bears are in the red zone. They get sacked on an RPO, which just couldn't happen. I mean, Mitch read that play completely wrong. But then on the next play, it's second and 18. They ran like all hitches, basically, like 4-yard routes. I mean, like that's just showing that they don't trust his ability to get the ball down the field. So I think that it's really hard for me to say, yes, Mitch is doing this well right now, because he just simply isn't seeing the field.
Oh, you paint a bleak picture, sir.
Yeah. Truth hurts, man. Truth hurts. I mean, like, I think that people need to understand this. Like, look, there's enough out there to show people this evaluation was the wrong evaluation. And for me, the only thing that's going to exacerbate the problem that they're in right now is admitting it doesn't exist. If you're pretending that this isn't an issue, you're lying to yourself. And that's the last thing you want to be as a team, is thinking that you have something that you don't. There's got to be some tough conversations going on at Halas Hall between now and the end of the season, because the window to win with this defense is going to shrink. The desire or the appeal for offensive players to come to the city and play here with quarterback play like this is going to be a hard sell. You need to really rethink and let people know, like, look, this isn't right. This isn't the right solution. We are opening up this competition. It's like, stop lying to yourself. I mean, I'm sorry if like people think that like this is some like rhetoric that they don't want to hear. It's the truth, and it's the reality of the situation. So I think that you need to figure out what you can do. To your point, this is why Matt Nagy's paid what he is. He needs to figure out how to salvage this offense for the rest of the year and try and win games 20-17 or 17-13, whatever it is. Make games ugly. Make games, you know, like just like the Denver game. I go back to that. That was a tough game. That was a physical game. Guys were gassed at the end of it, but they won. They can't get into these situations where they paint themselves into a corner where they can only throw the football. That's just not going to work with this quarterback.
I agree with what Dan had to say. And again, follow him on Twitter at DJ Durkin. I promise you will not regret it as a Bears fan. That I do think that they need to try and figure out, or at this point they will have figured out, things that will allow them to play better on offense. And I don't mean with them doing some of the stuff that we saw them do last year as far as production goes. You just need to win a game. To me, it's not big picture stuff with the Bears. Like, I'm not even going to go as far as Dan did about what happens in free agency. Win Sunday. What do you have to do to win Sunday? And some of it might hurt, and some of it might mean you don't get to do all the fun stuff that your offense was, you were expecting to do with your offense at this point. If you got to go to the mittens, but I am on board with people who are saying you do have to run the ball more. I don't think there has to be a 50-50 split. I am not from that school, but you better get your offensive linemen moving vertically up the field, just to establish the line of scrimmage. This segment is being brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Our guy, Anthony Heron, is with me every Monday. We break down stuff, and he was fantastic as always. And usually at the end, I ask him about the next game. So one of the things I wanted to know from Anthony, and I asked him this the week previous, had the Saints learned something from Oakland that they could use to beat the Bears as well? So I asked him, can the Chargers look at the Saints tape on offense or on defense and use that against the Bears coming up on Sunday? Here's what he said.
It'll be more about the Bears' approach philosophically as anything, because the Chargers shouldn't be, because the Chargers are looking at their season in a very similar fashion to the way the Bears are looking at their season. Expectations were far higher with a vastly more superior and veteran and experienced quarterback, who's towards the end of what may be his best playing days in Phillip Rivers. So they're looking at their season in a very similar manner to the Bears right now, and they're going to come to Chicago and say, you know what? We should get that one. The Bears aren't playing good football. We're not either, but we know we're better than this. We don't know that the Bears are better than that. So both teams are the Spider-Man meme right now, looking at each other saying, well, who's really the Spider-Man? Or who's really, you know, the real superhero here? Because we feel like we got more inside of us. I think, yeah, the Chargers are going to look at themselves and say, yeah, we think we can do on film what folks have been doing to the Bears. It's going to be about whether or not the Bears are willing to schematically step forward and say that if it's not a full Denver Broncos approach where you say we're going to actually run more than we pass, I think that as much as anything is the lead story for what the Bears offense lacks right now, a stubborn commitment to the ground attack that will allow everything else, that will allow your defense to have more rest, that will allow your quarterback to not feel like the load of the offense is on his shoulders as it was in that Green Bay game. And then I thought Matt Nagy started to do some of his best coaching with the Chicago Bears. And I told you after the Minnesota game, it might have been the best coaching job I've seen Matt Nagy doing. Week by week, he seemed to be growing. Now, certainly yesterday, and you can certainly make the case the last two games, more veteran coaches have outcoached him, both in Oakland or in London, and now right here in Chicago by Sean Payton.
Yeah, and it's upsetting when you see that, because it does feel as if other teams have figured some things out about what Nagy wants to do and has taken away some of that stuff. This goes beyond just Mitch, and he hasn't quite adjusted yet. We're going to take a timeout. We're talking more about this. J.J. Stankovic is at Hallis Hall. We talk with him every week. He's always got fantastic stuff from inside that locker room and inside those interview rooms. We're going to talk to him about the Bears and how can they put together one winning game plan. That'll be next here on The Score.
David Ross is now the new Cubs manager.
Chicago! Look what the boys got me!
Congratulations to David Ross, new Cubs manager. Keep listening for more on this huge story on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute. The Houston Astros finally got it right on Thursday when they fired assistant general manager Brandon Taubman in the wake of abusive comments he directed at three female reporters in the Astros clubhouse shortly after they won the American League pennant last Saturday. Looking at the three women, Taubman shouted, "Thank God we got Osuna. Thank God we got blanking Osuna." Roberto Osuna had 38 saves for Houston this season. He was traded from Toronto last year shortly after serving a 75-game domestic violence suspension. When Sports Illustrated's Stephanie Epstein reported the incident, the Astros tried to claim that her report was false and also misleading and completely irresponsible. It was none of those things. It was completely accurate. Taubman later issued a non-apology apology, claiming the SI report didn't accurately reflect who he is. Yes, it did. Finally, after MLB got involved, the Astros acted. Took long enough. I'm John Feinstein.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. Which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parent and they're the kids. You're going to start telling them that now, too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Hey, Eric. What are you doing here?
Like.
Huh?
Your social post. I liked it.
Oh, thank you. You know, there's a button for that, right?
I do.
The Nissan Altima, now offering the most tech-advanced engine in its class. This is tech that helps you be there. This is Nissan Intelligent Mobility. Auto Pacific Segmentation, 2020 Altima Platinum versus latest in-market competitors in the premium midsize class. Available.
Hear that? The stampede's coming. Must be Ford Truck Month. It's time to get the best deals on America's best-selling trucks for 42 years straight. But hurry, because this stampede won't be here for long. Stop till we're legend.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the Radio.com app today. And listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2.